So if you have your Bibles here, take it and turn over to the book of Galatians. Connie's going to conduct the service, the latter part of the service in a little while here, and remind us that there's no service Sunday night, right?
We're not having Bible study.
No Bible study tonight. I don't know, that's 2 weeks in a row we're slipping. But anyway, we want you to spend that with your families, but next week, the Lord willing, we'll be back together again at night too. But the book of Galatians is what we're going to be reading from here. Galatians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, not from man, but from the Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God in the God the Father, and to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, not another one, but one who also those who some trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one which you have we approached you with, let him be accursed. As we have said before, we now have said again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be assured, for I am now not seeking the approval of man or of God, but I'm one trying to please. Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Jesus Christ. We'll begin today on talking about the book of Galatians that we're going to study a little bit. There's a story told by Dr. Harry Ironside, who was the pastor at Moody Church in Chicago many years ago, and very good preacher. And he mentioned the fact that one day there was a lady who was traveling out east in the United States. She was traveling with a small child, and they were riding on a train. She didn't know her way around, so she asked one of the people there who was a supervisor at the train station if she could get off at a certain place, and they assured her that under every circumstance that she would be allowed to get off at that place and get to where she needed to meet some people and everything. But as it turned out, there was a mistake made, as you can imagine, and she did not make the connection. She thought she did, and the man who was instructing her about how to get off the train thought that he had made the right choice too. Come to find out, they stopped at a place where there were very few people there at all, and it was far, far away from where yet she was still intended to meet the people that were going to meet her. The sad part of the story is that because someone gave her wrong information, a tremendous tragedy happened. She lost her baby on that particular train experience because of the cold weather. It was cold weather. It was very blistery. And it was a sad situation. But all of it happening because somebody had given her the wrong information. When we look at the book of Galatians, that's what we find here in this book. We're finding someone who has received the wrong information. And they've received it primarily in two ways. They've received the wrong gospel, and they've also received false information about Paul's apostleship. Those are the two things in particular that he's going to talk about in this epistle and try to set straight for them so that they will maybe change some of their thinking and be found in the right gospel. Now you remember, as we talked about last week, there are three books in the Bible that we need to remember about. One is the book of Romans. The book of Romans is the book that some people have thought that because of what the book of Romans teaches, that it tells us that we are all saved by works. you read the book of Romans very carefully, you'll certainly discern that that is not the case. We're saved by grace through faith, not works. Number two, there are some people in the book of James who like to say that we are saved by works. They're antinomians. They teach that it doesn't matter what you believe. You just try to live a decent life and you'll be saved in the end. Again, we are not saved by our works, by how good we live our life as Christians. The third book is, of course, the book of Galatians. And there are some people who believe, first of all, correctly, that we are saved by grace through faith. But they teach that we are maintained in our salvation by human works and by human effort and by keeping the law and following God's commandments and things like that, certain rituals and the like. That's false. The Bible does not teach that. We are not maintained in our faith by good works. We ought to live a good life. We ought to try to serve God, but we do not become certain of our salvation or secure of our salvation because we live a good life. We need to realize that. Paul continues to express here in the first chapter his surprise because, you see, most of the time when Paul starts out, he's got some kind words for the people. It tells them thanks, glad to hear from you and all of that. But this time he is upset. And the reason he's so upset is because he has taught them all at one time the true gospel, but now they are turning away from it. And they are turning away to the fact that works are also part of the salvation process or the keeping process. If you don't believe that good works saves you, there are some people who still believe that good works keep you in your salvation. And that's a mistake, as we've already indicated here. Paul says, I'm shocked that so quickly you have turned away from the gospel and you are following a different gospel, not believing the right thing. You notice he says this twice. He tells us here in the verses 9 and following there, he says, as we said before, and I now say again, if anyone is preaching you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be accursed. That is, let him be put under condemnation by God. He said, don't follow any other gospel, no matter how clever it sounds, even if it comes from a supposed angel from heaven, or if myself, I tell you that these things are true, you must follow what you know to be right and what you've learned. For I am now seeking the approval of man. No. I'm seeking the approval of God, and not only approval of God, but twice he says the same thing. He says, if we or any angel or anyone else tells you anything different, don't believe it. Now, you might wonder, well, is that really true? You know, maybe Paul made a mistake, and, you know, if Paul's mistaken, then we're in a lot of trouble too. So the first thing we want to do in our thematic study of this book is I want to just do a little quick survey with you from some of the scriptures. And notice that the fact that we are saved by grace is clearly and unmistakably taught, not just by Paul, but throughout the Bible in various places. It's a biblical fact. And so we're going to begin today. I'm going to look at a couple of these scriptures with you. And I want to start out here with one that is talked about in another place, but we'll be able to find all of these because Paul has many places in Scripture too where he teaches this plainly. But let's start out with Acts chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. If you have your Bible, and you might wish to do that, turn around and just take a look. I don't want you to think that we're teaching you something here that maybe you suppose you've been instructed wrongly in the past, and maybe you have some questions about this. We don't want you to continue in that. We want you to believe what is truly taught by Scripture. Acts chapter 4 is a passage of Scripture, not written by Paul, but written by Luke. Luke was Paul's friend, but nonetheless, he was one who was inspired by God to teach these things. Now, in Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 10, we notice the following words are given to us here. Let it be known to all of you and to all the men of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and God raised from the dead, by him, this man standing before you, well, this Jesus is the stone by which he was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is no salvation in no one else, not Moses, not any other human being on their own idea. It's simply from God himself. There is no salvation in no one else, nor is there no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the choice is very clear here by Mr. Luke as he writes this under divine inspiration. He makes it clear. There's no other way. Christ is it. And if you have Christ, you have true salvation. If you don't, then you do not have true salvation. It's as simple as that, because the Bible is very clear. There's only one way to get to God that way. I mentioned the book of James, too. Suppose we turn to one of the books of James, or the book of James, rather, in the New Testament here, and get a little look at that once. If you have your Bibles, you might want to just turn over to the book of James. James, of course, was an important person in the early church. But nonetheless, I want you to notice very plainly what he says himself here in this passage. For whoever keeps the whole law, or all the commandments, or all the things that Moses instructed, or whatever, but who fails in one point, has become accountable for all of it. Now that's pretty clear. You start to think about that. Sometimes people say, well, you know, everybody sins. Everybody falls short. We all mess up sometimes. I mean, a few times here or there. I mean, God's going to overlook that. He's not going to be too fastidious about it. He can be very soft-hearted and everything. Yes, he can, if it's in connection with Christ, his Son. But not if it comes through our own efforts. Certainly, as we've already said, we want to try to live for God. We don't want to just ignore divine commandments in the Bible, but we need to remember that they do not save us and they do not keep us. And it's very clear here that even one violation, I'll bet everybody falls into that category at some point, don't they? You know, a man came to Mr. Ironside another time and he told him, he said, you know, I don't like the gospel that you're preaching. He said, well, why not? He says, because you're saying that it's all tied up with a man. And I don't think that is true. He says, it's all up to us. God saves us based on what we do. And he says, God saves us based on how well we try to obey the commandments. He said, I try to live by the Ten Commandments. He says, I try to keep in line with the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave a long time ago. He said, I try to do this. Mr. Johnson, or Ironside, rather, Harry Ironside Johnson, his last name was Ironside, but he was a Johnson. But anyway, he said to him, listen, how are you doing so far? How old are you? He said, well, I'm about 50 years old. And he said, so how, you know, at what age do you think you started to understand about commandments and moral law and all that? He said, oh, when I was about the age of accountability, I was about 12 years old. And he said, well, that's fine. He says, now, since you've been 12 and now you're 50, he said, you've had a lot of years of experience. He said, tell me now, starting off at age 12, you know, how well have you done? Did you keep it perfectly? And he said, well, what do you mean, did I keep it perfectly? And he said, well, it's very clear in the Bible that if you're going to achieve salvation from God, you have to follow Jesus Christ personally and no one else. You must trust in him. And though commandments are good and well and pleasing, they do not save you. You can never be saved because nobody here in this room now or outside of this room is good enough. I don't care who they are. We could have our president of the United States or anyone that you love or don't love could be here this morning, and the facts are still the same. There's one way. The Bible makes that very clear. Galatians chapter 3, we've already been talking a little bit about that book, the book of Galatians. It teaches this. Let's just look at one verse for the moment and just see this. If you have your Bibles handy, you might want to just turn over to Galatians chapter 3. We are in Galatians 3, verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under salvation, right? No, it doesn't say that, no. It says are under a curse. One violation of God's commandments puts you under a curse. The good news is that if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, and we trust that you do, you don't have to be considered to be under a curse anymore. You are free. The Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. And here we see the book of Galatians teaching the same thing. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the law. And so we see here that this is something that is very clearly taught in the Bible. I have a number of scriptures here. When you have a little time like I did, you find that you've got some things that you can do, and that's what I started doing. I started studying the scriptures on the book of Galatians and going through it very carefully here and looking at some things. Now, let's notice the fact that people were getting confused about this, though. You say, how did they get so confused? Well, they got confused because they followed the words of man. And you know, when you're following the words of man and not the words of God, you're always in trouble. And that's what people were doing back in those days too. Let's look at what the scriptures tell us about this. This is something that is very clear here. And when we look at Galatians chapter 3 again, what does the scripture tell us here? How do we get to heaven? How do we get there to be with God? But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. You always live by the commandments? You always obey them? Never disobey them? I hope not, because if you're trying to depend on that to get you to heaven, it won't count. It won't matter. Notice what happens here, though. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That's why you don't have to finally bear your own curse if you trust in Christ. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is already our curse. Jesus Christ came into the world and he took upon us the burden and the shame of our own sins and our violation. And he became our Savior, and he was the one who bore our curse for us. Here, verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. How does somebody get saved? Well, one thing we know is that they are led to that salvation because the Holy Spirit works in their heart. And the Holy Spirit leading them to the cross and to salvation through Jesus Christ, that's the way that it happens. We cannot do it in ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, I'm just quoting this now, but you know this text. The Bible says what? The natural man. That's the man who is not saved or thinks he's saved but isn't really saved. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither indeed can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. In other words, unless God, by his coming into our hearts, by the Holy Spirit, leads us into a new position where we are in a right relationship with Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we don't have this. I don't care if people come to any other man, including, like I mentioned, Moses here. People are trying to do this in the days when Paul was writing and responding against this heresy here. He said, "For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. The curse came because there was one who was hung on a tree." But who was it? It was Jesus Christ, and he paid the price. And that's where we have to start always. Now, we can continue to grow and develop and learn more about this, but nonetheless, we find out that ultimately it comes from Christ. I'm going to show you one other thing in chapter 1 of Galatians, and I want you to notice this here too. Some people think, well, you know, it came from some man, somebody taught it. And they say, well, Moses must have done it, and that was good enough. It was good enough for Moses, it was good enough for me. Well, we're not trying to make fun of Moses at all, but you know what? Moses can't save anybody. And you know what? The Bible tells us right here that it was Abraham who brought the blessing and no other one. But you notice here when you look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." That's the choice that we have. Man's way, that you can somehow earn it and achieve it or keep it or whatever, or you can do it Christ's way. The Bible is abundantly clear. John 3:16, you all know that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It's as simple as that, that Christ is the way, and we need to keep that thought very clearly in mind. He says, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that I preach to you is not man's gospel." Where did he learn it from? After he became a Christian, what happened was Paul left the city of Damascus, you remember, where he kind of fled out of that city, and he went out to Arabia. And how long was he there in Arabia? For 3 years. And the Lord taught him all the truth about everything, including the gospel. One of the things is that, interestingly, for a while, the apostles agreed with Paul totally. When Paul came to one place here, and he saw Peter at an earlier stage in his life, or when he was talking to James, he said, "This is what I've been teaching. Am I right?" They said, "You are right. That's it. It's by grace. It's by Christ. It's by trusting in him." And they all believe that. We're going to see later on, Peter had a little trouble with that. Later in his life, he got kind of messed up too, and Paul had to set him straight. You know, sometimes we think that no apostle ever makes a mistake or has to be set straight. Well, when you get to Galatians chapter 2, you'll notice that sometimes they have to be set straight. Peter was actually one who had to be set straight. And the Bible tells us that even Barnabas, for a while, was getting pretty close to slipping over the edge here too. But you know what? Paul says, listen, it's only through Christ, and he went through and showed them. And you know what? Later on, to Paul's credit, I just want to end on a good note today. When Paul finished his writing later on, he wrote in the New Testament, and he had people that helped him do some of the writing too. But what did they say? When we read one of those letters of in the New Testament now that were written by Peter later on, or a second letter that he wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter. But you know what he teaches in it? In every one of those books, he teaches that salvation is by grace alone. And he stresses the grace of God, not the works of man. And he said, there are some things, he said, that are hard to understand. Even Peter got slipped up for a little while there. But he says, follow what Paul is saying, because what he's telling you is the truth. It's from God. It's biblical. If it's not from God, we don't want it.